Hello and welcome to Swiss Info's program for May 23rd. I'm Jessica Dacey. Switzerland is dairy country. There are over 500,000 dairy cows, and cheese is the country's most important agricultural export. Good news if you're a dairy farmer, but not if you're counting greenhouse gas emissions. One third of these emissions are food-related. It's a stat that's prompted a few bright young things to try and change the way we eat, like the Zurich startup Eternity.
My name is Manuel Klamann. I'm the CEO of Eternity, and today we are at the Compass restaurant in Technopark. And this is special because this is what we have been working on for the last 7 years, and now it got real. We are serving climate-friendly meals here at the restaurant.
Eternity had the idea to push big company canteens to offer climate-friendly meals as a way of cutting their emissions. The startup helps with menu planning and has an emissions calculator for chefs. Restaurants also get data telling them how much they save each month. After a successful pilot, the Compass Group has come on board with Eternity and rolled out climate-friendly meals in 45 of its restaurants across Switzerland. Just imagine, people don't have to seek out climate-friendly meals, the meals come to them. It adds up to a not insignificant number of the Swiss workforce. I met Manuel Klamann at the Compass restaurant in the Technopark in Zurich, home to 300 companies and startups. Emissions are now down there. Manuel told me why.
What we see here in front of us is the report that we give to the restaurant on a monthly basis. And we see that this restaurant has in April 14.4 tons of CO2 in total. And that is 30% better than the average restaurant that we're measuring. And we can see what performed best or what performed worst last month. So they actually sell a lot of butter and milk, and that adds up to the CO2 balance a lot.
So the worst offenders are what?
Currently, that's a croissant here.
What's wrong with a croissant? What's
break that down for me.
Yeah. So a croissant is made of simple dough, but if it's really a good croissant, then it's layered in butter. And butter has a high CO2 balance because it comes from the milk. The milk comes from the cow. And cows emit methane emissions. And that adds up a lot. And of course, I need a lot of milk to make some butter. I need about 20 liters of milk to make a kilogram of butter. And that's just a simple equation. And because they sold so many croissants, and they're also deep frozen, they were delivered deep frozen, 160 kilograms, that adds up to 1 ton of CO2 over the month. So that's about 1/15 of the CO2 balance already. That may be something to optimize. We'll have to see.
How would you optimize it?
So they could be baked fresh and not deep frozen. I don't know if that's possible. They could be completely exchanged with something where there's less butter in it. Like you could have oranges or fresh fruits and simple things instead of the croissants.
Compass has a goal to cut its emissions by 20%. Here's their spokesman.
Sustainability is a business case for our company, and so is this the right time, the right product for the customers of our restaurants and of our companies, yes.
Do you have to spend money to do this?
It's time we spend. It's time and communication, and I think as money as well.
But how easy is this for restaurants or canteens themselves?
I'm the restaurant manager from here, from the restaurant Villaggio. We have 3 changing menus per day, and one of those is a climate-friendly menu. Yes.
So what do you have today?
Today we have pasta, farfalle siciliana, with aubergine and tomatoes, olive oil, and so on.
How is that environmentally friendly? It's all local food?
It's local and with low CO2, yes. Okay. And it's also from the region, and it doesn't have as much as a beef or something like that, so it's a light meat from the CO2. Yeah.
Does it cost more if you're trying to buy local food?
Well, yeah, if we buy a chicken from Switzerland or from Hungary or Poland, of course it's more expensive, but the people, I guess, if they want to do something, they're also willing to pay a little bit more.
I joined Manuel in the canteen to try out the food.
So they're really busy today.
Yeah.
But we have a climate-friendly meal. So it's the farfalle with toucan flesh.
With turkey.
Turkey meat, aubergines, tomatoes, and spices. I'm going to choose the wok here because it's I can choose to eat just fresh vegetables, and it will be even better on the CO2 balance.
Okay, so let's get a tray.
Yeah. Food is actually 1/3 of the greenhouse gas emissions that we emit in total. And this is the very first time, actually, in the world that someone is breaking down all these ingredients, all these different CO2 emissions to a meal and to a restaurant, implementing it in a fashion that you can clearly see when you're reducing emissions, how much you're reducing, what are the best means to reduce the emissions, and so on. So you can't just have the problem that we have way too much emission in the food sector, but you also need to have the solution, and that would be the first time that we have it.
Eternity's headquarters are a 30-minute bus ride away in a suburb of Zurich. Their offices obviously include a kitchen. That's where I met Judith Ellens, the one who came up with the idea of climate meals.
So I'm cooking Chinese noodles with some mushrooms and ginger and some cabbage.
So Judith was the one who came with the idea first in 2008? And he was also the one who is leading kind of the cuisine here. She's always experimenting with food and having the great ideas about what to cook and how to make things climate friendly.
How much do you feel is important about changing people's eating habits? I mean, this is a difficult thing to try to attempt, and especially in a country like Switzerland, where you have certain foods are very much a part of the diet, like cheese and milk.
It's a challenge. I think it has a lot to do with perception, like on how we perceive food and what we think is valuable and how valuable. And I think we also have to look at how our consumption patterns changed in the last 20 years or so. Because when you talk about tradition, you can look at what our grandparents ate. And this was actually much more sustainable than what we have now. Now we can have milk products and meat products any time of the year we like, as much as we like. And we don't value other things like vegetables, although these bring great variety and mean a lot for our health.
I'm going to be round my vegetables. I'm going to chow down my vegetables. I love you most of all, my favorite vegetable.
Each day, the average Swiss drinks 2 deciliters of milk and eats 60 grams of cheese and 2 tubs of yogurt, which puts Switzerland among the top dairy consumers in the world. Sebastian Neuger is someone hoping to make a dent in those sales.
Your idea at the start to try and take on the milk industry in Switzerland, of all places, that's pretty radical.
Okay. Okay. You think it's radical because Switzerland has this obsession,
cheese-loving country.
Yeah, obsession with cheese and milk products, and that's true. That it sounds like something that's completely useless to try to do something in Switzerland. But if you just think about what the milk industry does to the cows, for one thing, but also to the environment, then it's not so radical at all. I mean, the greenhouse gas emissions of milk production, even if they are not fed like soy and corn, which they are also in Switzerland, even if that's not happening, they produce a huge amount of methane because that's just what cows do. So I think if we want to have a nice future also in this country here, we should produce less of these things.
But it is a difficult concept to try and get across to a lot of Swiss, to say, please stop eating cheese.
You can say different things. One of the things you can say is stop eating it altogether, or you can say just eat less of it. And I think many people are open to the second message.
Sebastian started out as a philosophy student, and that questioning mentality prompted him to become a vegan. Then he fell in with a crowd who took things one step further.
I think about a year after I decided to try out being vegan, the people who already influenced me to do that asked me to join their association, Tierim Focus, and I did, and I started to get active. It was just felt like a natural thing to do. In 2013, 2014, we started initiatives in Basel and now also in Zurich about getting more vegan options in public canteens. So that was more like political activism that we did. And we also were on the street sometimes with playing that we were like Martians and asking people why they eat these baby cows. And we did a lot of things just to get people thinking about these issues.
His principles and know-how crystallized into action after a spell working from a startup hub when he decided to go into business with his programmer brother. They've set up the online platform Veganaut.
Veganaut is a platform which aims to be useful for everyone who is interested in finding vegan food everywhere they go and to find alternatives which you don't know about, either location-wise, that you find restaurants that you didn't know about, or that you find products that you didn't know about, and to be able to share what you know with others in a way that is fun and lighthearted and easy to use. We can see it as a service that is provided by the vegan community and by everyone who's involved in it to everybody else. I never thought I would go into business. We don't come from a family with a business background. We worked with what we had and we are still working on it, and it's very interesting, I think.
I tried to kick the ball, but my tenny flew right off. I'm red as a bee, 'cause I'm so embarrassed.
Okay, so we're three young guys from Zurich, and what we're trying to do is to use products that are discarded in agriculture due to various reasons and to process them into lunch menus that everyone can taste and everyone can feel great about. The goal is to get out of the food waste niche and make a broader audience realize how much food we're throwing away and how much of a shame that is, because how, by showing them what we can do, like the delicious menus we can cook using those products.
I met Remo Bébier at the Zurich Impact Hub, a buzzy office startup space underneath the city's train tracks, complete with a cafe and a Bitcoin machine. Remo's in his 20s. He and a few old friends run Zum Guten Heinrich, which takes surplus food from farms and repackages it into meals for Zurich office workers. Parked just outside the hub is the electric cargo bike that the team have kitted out with a huge black box to be able to transport food.
So how it basically works is we have a compartment where we put the food in when we cook it in the kitchen. So we have boxes where we can store it and keep it warm. And once we get to the selling location, we open up the bike. So there's this lid on top that unfolds. So you open it like this, and it would sit like this, and you'd have like a mobile selling area. And in here, inside the box, we can also store, you know, whatever we need, cutlery and whatever we need for the selling location. And then once we're finished, we just pack it back up and we're on our way. We try to make traditional Swiss dishes. We want to kind of take it back to the roots to also make this connection that this is food that is being thrown away in Switzerland. Also, for example, yeah, we do a lot of gratin, or, you know, stuff with potatoes or stews, or, you know, rice with vegetables, just things that you would expect if you went to a local restaurant to be on the menu. Nothing exotic, also because we're obviously cooking with stuff that is surplus production of Swiss agriculture, so we don't have bananas in Switzerland or, you know, products that come from abroad. We usually don't use in our menus.
And you have a professional food waste chef. Where does he go and get his food? Does he go out to the farms, or what does he do?
Yeah, our chef, he has a network himself, and we also have a network where we go to farmers and get the food from them. And sometimes people will call him and say, well, you know, I have these 200 kilos of pumpkin that I have no idea what to do with, and he'll go and get them. Or what's also happened before is that a farmer would call him and say, hey, I have this whole area of my land where there's pears hanging and I don't have the time to pick them. Do you want them? And he would just go and get them.
And you get them for a low price, or you do get them for free even?
Well, the basic idea is that we want to pay for them, because we want to transfer the message that these products are valuable. But in some cases, yeah, people just throw the stuff at us, and it's almost, often it's too much for us to handle. That's why we're now partnering with a larger restaurant in Zurich to be able to process more of this food. Because what happens oftentimes when you go to a farmer and you ask them, for example, do you have any spare potatoes? They'll answer, well, how many tons do you want? And then you have to be able to process all this, because it doesn't help anyone if you get it from them, store them in your cellar and let them rot there. So at the moment, this is one of our major problems, is that we can't really handle all the food that people would be willing to give us basically for free. And our idea is to pay for it, to also make these product, to bring the product on the market, and to just not have them be a waste product, because it doesn't make any sense, because the quality is just as good as with any other product.
Remo Bibier there. Three very different approaches to cutting emissions, but all have a common message. Eat more greens. Just like Mom always said. That's all we have time for. For more on climate-related stories, go to swissinfo.ch and look for our climate change dossier. Thanks for listening. And thanks to studio technician Jakob Stoller. I'm Jessica Dacey.